Our today Bible reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household has informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. It's quite divided. Were Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Amen.
Right. So last week we talked about healing through forgiveness. As we walk through the series this November month, the first Sunday in this month, we brought us the topic of foundation of unity. And last Sunday, we looked at healing through forgiveness. As we look through unity and healing within the local church, I am particular about that because I know we need unity and healing in our world today. Definitely, we really do. But you notice we are concentrating in the church, the aspect of healing and unity within the local church. We are all people coming from different backgrounds. And like Judy mentioned, God created us differently. We are all different. There is never a day we are going to all be the same. During one of our Bible study sessions in our home, I remember mentioning to my children that the world would be awkward if everyone were to be African, or were to be British, or were to be American. God, in his wisdom, made it that we're all races and ethnicities and different backgrounds. And that's the beauty of it. That is the beauty of it. We are not all tall or short or, you know, we are all different, and that's the beauty of it. And as you know, young people sometimes will always wish they would be like someone else. And like they say, the grass is always greener at the other side. But we need reminding from time to time, especially the younger ones, that you are who you are, and that is the best. Just stay who you are. Don't wish to be another person, because you are best in your own skin, if I will use that. So division, we are talking about today, overcoming division. Division is not a new phenomenon. In fact, it existed in the early church and indeed continues today. So in this church in Corinth, the church members were divided over which leader they were going to follow, or they were going to listen to, and followers preferring a particular leader over another and creating faction. It's interesting because the church in Corinth is a church that is quite diverse. Church planted in around AD 55 by the Apostle Paul during his third missionary journey. And in fact, it was towards the end of his ministry in Ephesus that this church was planted. And like most epistles, this particular epistle addresses a few points. It addresses, obviously, divisions in the church. It also addresses immorality. If you do a study on 1 Corinthians particularly, it addresses issues in worship, of course, also about the resurrection of Christ, and then the big one, spiritual gifts. like we studied the other time. So the purpose of the apostle writing to this diverse church was to identify these problems and to also offer solutions and then teach the believers how to live for Christ. Mark that, how to live for Christ, not for Apollos, not for Cephas, not for anyone, not for myself even. How to live for Christ in a corrupt world. The world is already divided, but the church has to be an example to the world. So that's what Paul is all about, right? If people are divided over party affiliation and allegiance, and I'm Tory and you are Labour, I play allegiance to mind you and you support Liverpool and we can go on all about that. If they already do that, the church should at least mirror the unity that the scriptures ask us to do. And in fact, the key passage in the whole of 1 Corinthians is verse 10. And it says this, I appeal to you like we've read, but it's the key verse in the whole of this book. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say. In what you say. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Be united in mind and thought. So, similarly, like it was then, in our own modern context, we see people divided over ideologies today, practices in the church, and over Christian leaders. In fact, because I did a little bit of study on ecumenism, in fact, one of my postgraduate studies was in ecumenism, I know that practices and faith theologies, practices, ideologies, and traditions could be very divisive. People say, I'm Pentecostal. You have to speak in tongues before you prove that you have the Holy Spirit. And some other ones say, oh, you guys are too loud for my liking. You have to be very pious and quiet and contemplative. And people go on and on and on and on and on. There could be several of those things in our modern context that could divide us. And so these divisions also tend to pronounce themselves when we think about ourselves more than about other people. So Paul appeals for unity. And I know you'll agree with me that this call for unity, like I've always said, is not a call for uniformity, but it's a call for harmony. Like I said, there is never going to be a way that we will be the same. So I am not calling us to a place of uniformity that we are all going to think the same, do the same, behave the same. But we are calling ourselves that we think the same way, at least for the key things about the scriptures. He encourages us to be united in mind and thought. Why? Because he says somewhere, let your mind be stayed on Christ. So if we are united in mind and thought, it means that our unity is rooted in Christ. Because we have to think like Christ did. We have to think like children of the living God. But having said that, unity does not mean, again, that we all think the same way and act the same way. But it means, like I said, we are united in our purpose and our resolve for love for one another. And like I mentioned last week, it's not just an act. It's something that we resolve to work on ourselves over time. It's not just saying, I love you, and full stop, that's it. There has to be action on my side. I have to resolve to do something if I say I love you. And one of them will be overlooking some things, like we do in marriage. isn't it? Deliberately overlooking some of my flaws. And that's the way you will be able to put up with me. At least those flaws that are not against the scriptures. You know, those things that are not, they're not heinous. Those things that are just me. It's just the way I do things. But not when I undermine people by what I say or what I do. That's not what I mean. But the way I package things, the way I say things, for example, or the way I understand things. Is Christ divided? He asks. It's a rhetorical question he puts to challenge them to remember our allegiance is to Christ alone. Not to the pastor, not to the leadership team, not to the leadership people, not to those who do whatever they do in Christ. While I was thinking about this subject today, I was thinking about the orchestra, symphony orchestra. And I know if you've picked out, you could see that I like classical music. Not so much, but a little bit. Yeah, I do. But there is power in the unity of those people that are in symphony orchestra. Made up of different musicians, all right? And different instruments. What are those instruments? You can remember? Violin, strings, guitar, brass, whatever. And so many of them, and those vocalists. And they have their own unique parts to play, isn't it? And the instruments produce different sounds, isn't it? But they are now obeying, as it were, obeying the commander. Now, figure the symphony orchestra at South Coast Family Church. And figure it that you are playing the violin, I'm playing my guitar, and she is singing, and he is humming. But Christ stands as the conductor for us to produce a beautiful, beautiful music and sound. We have to listen to the conductor. We have to follow his lead or her lead. Take it that someone decides, well, I don't want to follow his lead. I just want to play mine. And they are playing this way. He or she is playing that way. Chaos. But when we all play together, listening, obeying the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, because he says, is Christ divided? Did anyone be baptized in my name? No, we were not baptized in the name of Apollos or in the name of Paul, but we were baptized in the name of who? Christ. That's the only person. And so I'll show you this. It's just 2 minutes to just illustrate further what I'm saying. Thank you. Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. I get goosebumps every time I listen to this piece. Yeah, consider this as the local church. And we all play our different parts. And following the instruction of Jesus as the conductor of the orchestra. And I don't think any one of them will come up the next day and say, oh, it's because of me that we had a beautiful play today. It's because I played mine very beautiful. I think the glory will go to the whole team. And of course, if Jesus is the head of the team, he is the one that should be glorified. I want us to read together again, please, if you are able. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Apollo. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Christ crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? So, Paul appeals to those in the church because there were different beliefs, and of course, they have come from different backgrounds. Like I said, the church was in a very important part in those days, so people from all over the world, then world, were there to do business, to transact, and to live their lives. And people also had different personal preferences, so they were just having division because of some of those things. Let me propose to us some practical steps that we will follow, maybe five of them that we will consider today and take home. But before I do that, he says, I appeal to you. He was not making a suggestion, but he was making a request under Christ. So it's not a suggestion. It's a strong request because it's made in the name of Christ. But it's good, as he says, and I always like this when I read, he considers them brothers and sisters in Christ. So the fact that they were divided did not diminish their faith. They were considered as brothers and sisters. They were still in Christ. So he appeals to them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He strongly requested that this is a request I'm putting forward, not because I am your leader, but because we are under someone who is above all. So because of him, I put up this strong request to you, this strong appeal to you, that all of you agree with one another. First of all, in what you say. In what? What you say. In what you say. Why? Because he was so much concerned about what they say outside. What do we say outside about those inside? We have to say the same. We have to be seen to say the same thing. And so, emphasizing the authority of Christ on the fact that we are brothers and sisters, we are one family. Praise God. Amen. We are one family. We are the family of Christ. And because we are one family, sometimes in families, people do, offend each other. People do disagree on things. In fact, they say we agree to disagree. Sometimes, purposely, we agree to disagree. We are one in Christ. But we have to consider that because of Christ, we obey what the scriptures say. My brothers and sisters. And he now tells them where he's got the information from. So it's not a rumor. It's not a gossip. So he tells them straight where I got it from. Some people from Chloe's family. When you go to verse 1 of this place, he talks about Sosthenes. Sosthenes was one of those key leaders in that local church. And Paul did not do anything without Sosthenes. And so Sosthenes was the one that brought him this information from the Chloe's household, informing him that, please, I'd like to make you informed that there are people in this local church that are divided over who to follow and who do we, you know, pledge our allegiance to. So it's not a rumor flying across. I tell you where he's from. He's from Chloe's family. They've informed me that there are quarrels among you. You guys are quarreling because you are divided over this and that. But he has to point them to the fact that Jesus Christ is head over all. What I mean is this. Then he tells them what the information was. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. So he was specific about the division. He told them where he got the information from, and he told them what it was about. It's about this and this and that, and there are factions and divisions. But come to think of it, he says in verse 13, when you do all these things, does that suggest to people outside that Christ is divided? When you say you believe in me, you follow me, was I crucified for you? Was Apollos crucified for you? Were you baptized in my name? No, it was under Christ. And so, let me suggest that number one, we should focus on Christ, because our unity is found in Christ, and we keep our eyes on him. Praise God. Are you following? Yeah, let me bring it to a close by, you know, suggesting these five things. Focus on Christ, not on any leader, not on any person, but on Christ. When we work together under Christ, we will always seek for unity. And number two, we should seek understanding. And in seeking understanding, there are two things that are very essential. Number one is listening and then understanding. And not just listening, but hearing what the other person says, hearing their perspectives. And one of the key things that we do when we resolve conflicts is to sit down and listen to people. And when you listen to them, when we listen to ourselves, we understand our perspectives and then come to respect the person's perspective of things. And sometimes it will lead us to empathy and compassion. And we'll know where they're coming from, you know, why they have said what they've said or why they've done what they've done. We'll come to appreciate where they're coming from, and it will even lead maybe praying for them and also helping them further. And also, we have to promote love and respect. If we really, really want to overcome division in whatever place we are, we have to treat one another with love and respect, even when we disagree. Mark that. Even when we disagree, we have to learn to respect people and love them. So this creates an environment where unity can flourish. I will respect you and I will love you. I've worked with people of different faiths. I've worked with people of different persuasions. And you know what it helps me to do? It helps me to appreciate what I have. You know, yeah, spending time in Geneva a few years ago, studying with people from all over the world, and as we did our postgraduate studies, and studying about traditions of other people and their cultural leanings, it helped me to solidify my own. It didn't make me to try to water down what I believe or what I hold. But it could be different for different people, all right? But I respect people, whatever they have to bring to the table, but I will never, ever shift an inch from what I believe. If I know that this is what I believe in the scriptures, yeah? Why do you believe that way? All right, could you tell me why you believe what you believe, you know, how you believe it? that's not going to change how I believe things. You know, I have had people, they call Jehovah Witnesses sometimes, maybe in Nigeria, come along and we argue and argue. We didn't take us anywhere. I respect them for what they bring and whatever they say, but I'm not going to shift an inch from what I believe. I know I have believed over the years. And then fourthly, we have to pray for unity. Regularly pray for ourselves, like we do in this church, that the Lord will help us to be one in Christ. And finally, to engage together in serving one another. And as we do that, we will shine the light of Christ to other people, and Jesus will be glorified in our lives. I'd like us to pray at this moment, lifting up ourselves before the Lord, praying that the Lord will help his word to sink in our spirits, and that we will take home today the aspect of working together to overcome division. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that your word imparts unto us. As we listen and as we make a resolve to obey you, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us, Lord, to overcome divisions. Lord, help us to be united in mind and thoughts. Help us, Lord, that we will keep our focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as we seek to love one another, to listen to one another, to understand each other, and to cherish what we bring to the table, Lord, we pray that you will guide us, that we will be the beacon of unity and peace in this community. And we ask this, O Lord, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and who is coming back again. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Right, so before we go to our...